Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, the LCMS website gives this brief definition for stewardship. Christian stewardship is the free and joyous activity of God's family, the church, in managing life's resources for His purposes. Rightly understood, Christian stewardship flows freely from the gospel of Jesus Christ. This begins all the way back the very first moments of creation in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were created by God in perfection, out of love, not out of necessity. And God freely gave to them all that they could possibly need, every tree, every bush for food. The animals were there, and they were to eat freely of those fruits and vegetables as well. And so to mankind, God announces and says, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Adam and Eve, our first parents, the first man and the first woman ever created, were to be all of creation's first stewards. In Greek, that word is oikonomos, understood as a manager. God has created all of mankind out of His great identity of love. And He has entrusted, given over to mankind to be the stewards, the managers of His creation. Properly understood, none of what we have is really or truly ours alone. It all comes from God, and it all belongs to Him. We then are stewards, managers of all that God has granted unto us. He has entrusted mankind with the continued care and well-being of His creation. And this shows up greatly in all of the vocations that you and I have. God may still intervene from time to time directly with a miraculous healing or provision, but He commonly brings the things that you and I need through the hands and the services of others. Consider farmers, grocery store workers, car mechanics, doctors and nurses, lawyers and teachers, and the like. All of these and more are used by God to bring each of us what we need to support this body and this life. On today's gospel text from Mark 12 is the famous story of the woman who gives everything that she has, as Jesus said, into the very treasury of the temple. This is reminiscent, of course, of the widow from the Old Testament reading. Tells Elijah that she is about to use the very last bit of her flour and oil for her son, for her, so that they may eat of it and then die. In the midst of that lack of food, Elijah requests that he be fed first, promising that the oil and the flour would not run out. The woman obeyed, and Elijah's words proved true. The woman and her son, the whole household, were able to eat for many more days, for the jar of flour was not spent. Neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that He spoke by Elijah. Jesus' point in highlighting the poor widow's offering was in direct contrast to the arrogance of the scribes being observed in the temple compound, They paraded themselves around in fine robes each and every day, taunting their own wealth and seeking the highest places of honor. Not so the widow, poor and humble. And yet she gave of all that she had. Even so, in the midst of that, Christ our Lord does not want us stuck on those externals, but on what lies beneath. As with that widow of Zarephath, the poor widow in the temple possessed faith, trust in the promises of God. Zarephath's widow was going to give up her last food out of despair, but a word of promise from God, through the man Elijah, altered her motivation. From despair, she sacrificed her possession in faith. Likewise, the widow in the temple, she had faith, whereas the scribes possessed none. And this does hearken back to Cain and Abel. Why was Abel's sacrifice pleasing to God and Cain's not? Both had given of the first fruits of their labors. They gave when they had plenty, and so were able to give what they should, as God expects, rather than wait until they had very little left and could only then give a little. Hebrews 11:4 comments, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Abel had the promise of faith. He believed in the coming Messiah, his Redeemer and Savior, and that made him righteous, even as it did Father Abraham to come. Thus, Abel's gift was acceptable to God. Faithless Cain, however, did offer a quality gift, but without righteousness by faith in that Messiah. His gift then was unacceptable. For you and for me, we know the gospel. We believe the gospel. We trust in Christ alone for our salvation from sin. This brings the greatest of joys. But we also know the fullness of God's law. You and I confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. You know and I know we should not lie, cheat, hate, gossip, envy, commit adultery, live together outside of marriage, dishonor authority, and so on. And we know that repenting of these sins means turning away from them and seeking to do and to be better. It is what God expects of His dearly redeemed people, and yet we fail again and again. We sin. Every day we need that repentance. We need to turn away from that sin, to drown the old Adam. And every day we need to hear the declaration, the solid truth, that our sins stand forgiven. The Holy Spirit creates faith in you to believe that you are forgiven, righteous, justified, holy. And that faith created in you by the Spirit, that makes you righteous. And all then that you offer back to God is pleasing in His sight. As instructed by our scriptures, the church does not make laws where God does not make laws. And so no strict guideline is ever given by the church as to what proper stewardship should be in the life of the church. How should you use your time, your talents, your resources, your finances? God did give instruction in His Old Testament to His Old Testament people that what was going on was similarly in the world around them at that time. A tenth of all that is collected should be offered back to God. 10% of what you bring in makes up quite a bit. And it is certainly harder to part with that 10% when you have very little left at the end of the month than when you first begin. And it has been said that if every member of the congregation gave 10% of their income, without fail, the congregation would never have a financial need. Well, these are great guidelines to help inspire your thoughts and mine in the very giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. But what of the rest of stewardship? How best should you use your time, your abilities, your resources? Well, certainly not to the harm or detriment of your other vocations. Serving on church boards should not bring your family life into distress. Nor should your working life take priority over your family, or your hobbies conflict with your reception of the means of God's grace. And so being a good manager of all that God has given you requires balance and a right understanding of vocation. You are set free from the burden of your sin. You cannot earn your salvation, nor do you have to. Christ has already done it for you. You are now His. He has purchased you with a price, that of His own life, His own sacred blood. You do owe Him everything, as do I. And yet He demands nothing save your trust in Him. You are free to love your neighbor as you love yourself, with no worry ever of losing your salvation. Adam and Eve were tasked with managing God's creation. And God has given you great goods to care for too. It is a privilege and an honor to serve God in such a way. For you have been given faith in Christ Jesus through word and through sacrament, so that all that you do now is righteous in God's sight. Your offerings of time and of talents and of finances, they are pleasing in God's sight because you stand forgiven in Jesus. And with faith like that of the Zarephath and temple widows, you can give and do more than you ever thought possible. And even that, though, is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. He has given you faith to trust in Him. When life is tough, when life is good, when you are called by Him to give, and you think you have nothing left to give, God will strengthen you, and He will cause you to stand. And so God grant you the free and joyous activity of God's family, the church, in managing life's resources for His purposes. As you do so, and I do so, only by the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.